You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is, what is it today? It's Thursday, the 2nd of January 2020. And you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at radioalbion.com, because we have with us the owner of the website, rustjournal.org, and the author of multiple books, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, hello to you. Happy New Year to you, sir. You can tell I haven't made a podcast for a day because I'm getting all tongue-tied. How are you doing anyway?
Well, you know, I really can't handle another year like 2019, so this better be a good year. Today would be my 21st wedding anniversary, but so it's good that we're doing this to get my mind off the gaiety of it all. But what we have today is even more depressing. So, you know, buckle up.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised at this. I mean, I always thought that Donald Trump was sort of campaigning against wars in the Middle East, and yet apparently he has just handed over an unbelievable amount of money to them in the Defense Authorization Act, which is the Defense Authorization Act of 2020. It was signed by Donald Trump on December the 20th. And he has handed over $738 billion to the Pentagon. Matt, just tell me a little bit about this. Tell me a little bit about this Defense Authorization Act, and just try and, if you can, sort of quantify how much money that is, because it sounds, you know, it's very, very hard to actually work out how much that is.
Well, to keep in mind that $738 billion is only the on-budget, specifically Defense Department money. So, for example, the Coast Guard is not under the Defense Department. It's under Homeland Security. So the Coast Guard budget is not included in this. Customs is not included in this. Military aid is not included in this. Military intelligence is not included in this. Construction overseas, military construction bases, that's not included in this. Hiring mercenaries is not included in this. Training groups in the Middle East and elsewhere is not included in this. So if you include all that, you're well over $1 trillion. So this is just – and not that doesn't include, of course, stuff that's off budget, which is a lot of stuff. We'll be talking about that in a minute. So $738 billion, that's just on budget stuff specifically under the Defense Department, and it's not the whole thing. So they're deliberately hiding the numbers. $738 billion is ridiculously high. No other country is anywhere near that. And other countries simply have a superior military than the U.S. And the U.S. has nothing to show for all this money. So it's an absolute disaster area.
How much does Russia spend on their military budget then? Because obviously Russia wants to mirror America and you know, sort of hold that global balance of power. So how much does Russia spend on their military budget? Do you know?
Oh, it's less than a third. It's less than a third of this. Because you could take the top eight countries in terms of military budget, which would include Britain and France and China and Russia, and you would get – I think it would include Iran too, Taiwan, South Korea, and that still wouldn't match the $738 billion. So you have the top eight most militarized countries, put them all together – and it's not as much as the U.S. spends on its military. And again, we have nothing to show for it.
Is that because America is frightened of being invaded or somebody going to war against America? I don't think there's anybody that's sort of declaring war against America at the moment. Well, Bernie Sanders actually made quite a good response to this, I think, and we've got a copy of his response here. He says, I strongly oppose this legislation, just as I have all previous Trump military budgets. At a time when we have massive levels of income and wealth inequality, when half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck, when more than 500,000 Americans are homeless, and when public schools throughout the country are struggling to pay their teachers a livable salary, it is time to change our national priorities. It is time to invest in the working families of this country and not a bloated military budget. I find it ironic that when I and other progressive members of Congress propose legislation to address the many unmet needs of workers, the elderly, the children, the sick and the poor, we are invariably asked, how will we pay for it? Yet we rarely hear that question with regards to huge increases in military spending, tax breaks for billionaires, or massive subsidies for the fossil fuel industry. At a time when 18 million families are paying more than half of their limited incomes on housing, we are told that it's too expensive to guarantee everyone in the United States a decent place to live, affordable childcare, and a job that pays a living wage with decent benefits. But when it comes to giving the Pentagon $738 billion, even more money than it requested, there is a deafening silence within Congress and the ruling elites about what our nation can and cannot afford. Congress will just authorize and appropriate all of this money without one penny in offsets, no questions asked. And there is little discussion taking place as to why the Pentagon, riddled with fraud, cost overruns, and corporate price fixing, is the only major agency of government that has not successfully undergone an independent audit. The time is long overdue for us to take a hard look at military spending, including the war on terror, and whether it makes sense to spend trillions more on endless wars, wars that often cause more problems than they solve. Well, that's very good of Bernie there. So you would think that he would be there for the vote for the defense bill, but he wasn't, which seems to me to be a little bit hypocritical. What do you make of that, Matt?
You know, if this is so important to him, he would be there. You know, everything he said, any national socialist could totally agree with everything that Sanders said here. It's something that Hillary could never say. It's something that Biden could never say. My personal opinion is the reason that he didn't show up for this vote, actually most of the candidates didn't show up, Democratic candidates didn't show up, is because if he's ever actually elected, he's going to have to work with these people. And he doesn't want a war between the Pentagon and himself, especially since he has no experience in that area. Now he's going to claim that while I was on the campaign trail, I couldn't get to Washington. But that's nonsense. He would have a subsidized flight if he needed it. But, you know, looking at Sanders' voting record, I mean, he did vote for the Iraq War as a congressman in the 90s. Worse than that, he voted for the war in Yugoslavia. And of course, no surprise, he supports Russian sanctions. And what few people know is that that's super expensive. Talk about cost overruns. He fought for the F-35, which is over $1 billion a piece. If there's any entity that has cost overruns and corporate price fixing, it's that. So, you know, I mean, okay, Elizabeth Warren voted against the defense budget last year, but she did support Trump's very first military budget in 2017, or actually going into 2018. And same thing for Booker and Klobuchar. They supported his first. So this is just because they're on the campaign trail, and none of them showed up for this vote. Tulsi Gabbard alone, of course, is no surprise, was the only one who voted against it. And like I say, you know, you're China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, India, UK, France, Japan, Germany, South Korea, Brazil. Their defense budgets put together don't match the U.S. And it's not just, you know, he's right about the Pentagon. It has not. It's unauditable. We've talked about that on this show before. They've attempted to audit it, but the books are in such disarray that they can't do it. And so and when you're worshipped like that, and I have paper after paper on this topic. They hired Ernst & Young, which is a big auditing firm, used to be at the World Trade Center, which I don't know, may or may not be a coincidence. And they couldn't do it. They gave up after about 9 months. That's how bad the Pentagon's books are. They're deliberately designed to be misleading. So no one knows where this money goes. No one knows you know, how much money goes to mercenaries, how much money goes to intelligence, how much money is so much stuff is off the books. So this is a an utter complete disaster. And this is one thing that Sanders is right on, but this is pure rhetoric. Because Sanders really doesn't believe this stuff, as his voting record shows.
Well, and so many of them take money from the military-industrial complex to help them with their campaigns. But one thing that really does surprise me, I mean, Donald Trump really did campaign on stopping these endless wars, and yet here he is giving $150 billion more to the Pentagon than they actually asked for. Well, the next quote that we've got here comes from Counterpunch. According to OpenSecrets.org, in the 2016 race, Sanders took $366,458 from the defense industry, only 8% less than Trump, and about a third as much as Hillary accepted. Given that even peacenik Jill Stein is down for $26,395 in this category, one might wonder how it is defined, but that's just too much to be called anti-war. I mean, it seems to me, Matt, that this is there's sort of like bipartisan support for the defense industry here, and anything that Bernie says against it, as you say, that's, you know, that's just window dressing, and here he is taking money from them. So is this an issue like Israel that both the Democrats and the Republicans they just both do as they're told, and they both sign off as much money as the military complex asks for? Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is. It's an autonomous part of the state that seems to be more powerful than any elected politician. It doesn't matter what party the president is from. They authorize war after war after war, almost every one of which is lost, you know, unless you want to include like Grenada. And even Grenada, the U.S. took a lot of casualties, far more than was ever reported. So, yeah, it's like Israel. No one wants to go up against these guys. Now, if the Pentagon was actually auditable, they would have some information to go after these guys with. They have no idea where this money goes. So they're clearly afraid of something. They're afraid of getting elected and having to work with them. And the last thing they want is a fight with them. And they don't know where that might lead. So, and you know, they really don't know. None of these Democrats are particularly expert in defense issues or foreign policy, not even close. So, I mean, certainly Hillary wasn't. You know, say these are all domestic oriented candidates. So they're going to depend on these guys for foreign policy advice if they actually get elected to anything. So they really don't know what to do. They don't know how to analyze this stuff, and they don't know what to say except the rhetorical stuff. What Bernie Sanders says rhetorically is correct, but of course he doesn't mean it.
Well, according to some of your articles, there's trillions of dollars that are just unaccounted for, and that's why they couldn't audit it. I mean, they also have a slush fund, an overseas contingency slush fund. The 2019 increase would amount to a reversal for President Donald Trump's White House budget director, former Republican Representative Mick Mulvaney, who for years campaigned against what he saw as former President Barack Obama's abuse of the account, calling it a slush fund. After he was tapped for the job, Mulvaney told Senate lawmakers that he would seek to eliminate the fund altogether. Five sources, both U.S. government officials and outside sources close to the discussions, said the Pentagon in its fiscal year 2020 budget request is planning to ask lawmakers to more than double the size of the Overseas Contingency Operations Account, as it is formally called, to a level not seen since the height of the Iraq surge in the late 2000s. The Defense Department's base budget for fiscal year 2020 is capped by law at $576 billion. The Trump administration is seeking roughly an additional $150 billion, possibly as much as $174 billion, which would bring the overall budget for defense to $750 billion for the War Fund, more commonly known as the OCO, the sources tell Foreign Policy. Entire programs such as the U.S. Army's accounts for ammunition and training will be moved to this war account, according to multiple sources. I am wondering here, Matt, whether this, you know, this increase in this money here, maybe this is sort of heralding another excursion into Iraq or maybe attacking Iran. I mean, that's what we've got going on at the moment over there in Iraq. Iraq. He's using the excuse of, well, we're going after Hezbollah to basically go after these Iraqis. And I'm wondering whether this extra money is there to buy people off and so that the Iraqis don't make a fuss if he goes in there and attacks Iran. Do you think there could be a link between what's going on there right now and this increase in funds?
Well, that's very possible. I don't know why Trump hasn't done this already after the impeachment is over and if he gets reelected, because then he'll be a lame duck president. He won't have to worry about reelection. And he's done everything that the Israelis have wanted. And of course, the one thing that they want is Iran taken out like Iraq was taken out. That they're hiding here certainly wouldn't be enough to go after a first world country like Iran. But I just said that it's well over $1 trillion in reality. And one of the ways it's hidden is, as we said, the OCO. That's not a traceable part of the budget. No one knows where that money goes. By definition, a slush fund is hidden. It isn't part of the budget. Now, that's not the only off-budget stuff. But the issue here is that in 2011, the Budget Control Act was passed that forced all programs across the board to limit their spending. Well, these are politicians. They're going to get their way one way or the other. And the Pentagon certainly will. So to get around the Budget Control Act, they created this overseas operation slush fund. And the GAO report, Government Accounting Office, says Congress has appropriated almost $2 trillion since 2001 into this off-budget account. Right now, Trump has about $200 billion in this fund, as far as anyone knows. So the $700 and whatever it is, billion dollars, that's nothing. You have at least $200 billion more. And then everything else, including the Coast Guard and everything else that's not even part of the Defense Department. That means that the Budget Control Act of 2011 is a dead letter. They're not going to stop spending here. And it just goes to show that, you know, I thought that because Trump didn't get any money for his campaign, he self-financed his first campaign. Therefore, he's not going to be beholden to anybody. But because he came in as such a weak candidate, without a party behind him, without institutions behind him, he was very easily manipulated. And now he's looking for allies wherever he can get them. And this is one way to do it. He's paying these guys off. And so the Budget Control Act is a dead letter. It really never mattered. And any legislation controlling spending, this is what they'll do to get around it. There's a million ways, legal and illegal, that they can get around it. And because the Pentagon can't be audited, and never has been audited, there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, it does seem like he's trying to make allies here with the military. I mean, he certainly says one thing and then does another. The United States spends more than twice as much on its military as China and Russia combined, and is clearly the world's preeminent military power. But it isn't obvious that we're getting the biggest bang for our bucks, nor that this additional spending will be critical to sustaining our edge. More to the point, even with all this preeminence, the US military has struggled to bring current conflicts to a satisfactory end. As noted in 2016 by Admiral Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we're zero for a lot. Military historian Andrew Bakovich similarly concludes, having been at war for virtually the entire 21st century, the United States military is still looking for its first win. For a person who is elected to the presidency by railing against the foreign policy establishment, proclaiming America's overly militarized foreign policy a complete and total disaster, and more recently declaring in his State of the Union address that great nations do not fight endless wars, President Trump has once again funded a military geared towards perpetuating the status quo and remaining embroiled in the endless wars that he has promised to quit. I mean, I would have really thought that there would be a big pushback against him for doing this, because this was a big part of his promises that he made on his election campaign, that he was going to stop all these wars. And yet here he is going off in Iraq. He's just sent loads more troops there. Don't forget all these strikes that he's done on Syria. But mind you, on the other side of it as well, he does keep saying that he's going to be pulling the troops out of Syria, and then the industrial complex just refuses to do it, and the deep state just pressure him until he keeps them there. I mean, maybe he's just not actually capable of doing this. What do you think, Matt?
Well, especially given the fact that he's in the process of being impeached, whatever power he had is at least temporarily limited. The deep state is more powerful than he is. He doesn't have anyone behind him. I mean, if he had a party behind him, if he had a think tank behind him, if he had organizations behind him, even other countries behind him, he could do something, but he's all alone. I've been saying that from the very beginning. And so looking for allies like the Zionists, the military, certain different groups of people. So he can't make allies in the military without, and remember, so many of these high ranking officers are Obama appointees. Because Obama purged the higher ranks near the end of his second term. So these are a lot of his people there. So he has to be very, very careful. And they were talking about a military coup not too long ago. And I guess they still are. During the campaign, the Los Angeles Times was the first one to mention it. If he allegedly, you know, cheats and wins by fraudulent means, military should take over. I can't believe I heard that. But the Los Angeles Times was, and then everyone else started talking about it. For the first time in American history, this became an issue. So he may be a little scared of this. He probably knows a lot more than we do. But this is, and now finally, these guys are saying what I've been saying for years, that the U.S. military is far from a global power. The U.S. military has lost every war it's ever been in since 1945. It is far from preeminent. Its record is terrible. They're beaten everywhere, even by militaries far smaller and less advanced than the U.S., proving that stuff doesn't really matter. Spending money on aircraft carriers, even though they're obsolete now. But these are big ticket items that satisfy a lot of corporate interests. You know, American politicians are beholden to big money no matter how much money they have personally. And so it proves that it's not money on the campaign trail that matters. It's money and power that they stand to gain once they're elected that matters. Because Trump didn't take any money during his campaign. And yet he's doing everything he said he wasn't going to do, which proves that it's only once you're in power that the pressure is put on you, especially since he has nobody else. He has absolutely no one else. The guy is, you know, probably for the first time in his career, he's scared to death.
That's just it, isn't it? The people that support him, like us, we don't have any power. You know, we helped to get him elected, but we can't do anything for him now that he is elected. This is the issue. Well, we've got some quotes from your articles here, Matt. The first one is from The Political Sociology of Mass Society, The Lie of American Militarism. The defense budget is far larger than reported. The American officer corps is so overpaid and pampered that the system has had to hide the real numbers. The officer corps of the USAF, for example, is part of the 1% of Americans. A major 0-4 with 6 years stationed at Andrews AFB with dependents makes $115,000 yearly, according to the USAF's official pay and benefits site. Only a portion of this is taxable. The base pay is $80,000 a year, but a housing allowance of $38,000 is kept separate. Now, that sounds like a lot of money to me, Matt, for what it is. Tell us some more about this.
Well, the point is, and this, I didn't know this until recently, and I'm the only one who's writing about this. For some reason, liberals who claim to be against this kind of thing aren't writing about it. And the reason is because the military is a liberal institution that's fighting conservative governments. It's not the Cold War anymore. But these guys will say that our base pay, you know, if you're in Andrews, which is expensive, you know, in Maryland, I just drove past there recently. They'll say, well, we're getting $80,000 a year as an O4 or an officer four, a major. But that's not how much they're making. A housing allowance of almost $40,000. This is half of what he's making in a salary is deliberately kept separate. So, of course, the salary isn't $80,000, but that's what it'll say. But that's what he'll say if you ask how much he makes. He won't mention the housing. So, because if someone found out how much he was making, that he's making well over, you know, $110,000, people may be irritated. I mean, he's only a major. But so they lie about it by keeping the housing, so-called housing allowance, separately. He doesn't have to spend that on housing. That's simply how they hide their salaries. So these guys, and I know from Russian and Serbian military forums that they laugh. They're nowhere near this level of money, this level of income, the perks that they get, the luxury of the officers. None of the grunts don't get this, of course. Only the officers get this. So this is where some of this money is going. This is why it's so bloated. These guys are part of the 1%, and this is a mid-level officer. You know, a major is no big deal at this point. And this just goes up and up and up, and it does not include all the separate things like, you know, giving speeches to the military industrial complex, as some colonels will do, and all generals will do, Not all of this is taxable. None of their health insurance is taxable. They get a full month worth of vacation, a paid month of vacation a year. When they're overseas, they get 10% extra. There's a million different kinds of allowances. And in the Air Force, of course, there's so many bonuses. This $115,000, that's just the beginning. I mean, this is an unbelievable amount of money that these guys are getting. The grunts get very little. But these officers are pampered beyond belief. So people are coming into the service not because they're patriots, but because they're, you know, it's a great way to make money. And they get a certain level of social prestige. They're not getting the best people. And so this is part of why the budget is so bloated.
Well, I guess if what you were saying earlier about these Obama appointees, you know, they would be diversity quota employees, wouldn't they, rather than being there through merit. Well, let's have a look at a colonel based on the West Coast, to use another example, with 22 years experience, gets over $200,000 yearly as his minimum pay, including health insurance and other subsidies, and much more is added to this. They pay far less tax than others, and all bonuses are tax-free. Their health insurance is beyond what anyone else can get at almost no cost. They have subsidized life insurance. Their pay is increased 10% a month when deployed. They receive 30 days off a year with pay. They can use USAF travel packages at no cost. In fact, as of 2018, the USAF increased its retention bonus to a maximum of $100,000, according to a September article in the Air Force Times. The maximum should be taken with a grain of salt. Since the Pentagon cannot be audited, the sky is the limit, so to speak. This is especially true for pilots, but other key jobs are included here too. I mean, that's a quarter of $1 million that they're getting yearly there, isn't it, a colonel?
Yeah, and it's not even working. Because as of right now, there's 800 vacancies amongst American pilots. And it's even worse for maintenance personnel. Because commercial airliners are paying even more than this, and they're poaching their pilots. So because of overwork, because of bad equipment, again, no one knows where this will be. All this money and the equipment is falling apart. Lost wars, these long deployments, even this kind of money isn't keeping them in the Air Force. The U.S. military is so overstretched, these endless wars and more in the future, that even this much money and this much, you know, luxury can't keep them in their jobs. Yeah, the equipment is bad. The deployments are getting longer because the military is so overstretched. And we've been talking about this on the show. I've written about this endlessly. I'm the only one writing about this right now, about how the equipment is falling to pieces. And so where the hell is this money going? You know, this is a huge amount of money, you know, over $1 trillion a year, and their equipment is falling apart. And they're losing every war they have. They're fighting. That's been driven out of Afghanistan. They're being driven out of Syria. So this is an absolute disaster. But these bonuses are a hell of a lot more than $100,000 a year for those who stay. And because of the purges in the Obama administration, promotions to colonel and even brigadier are much easier for you. All of this is even that's not keeping guys around. So on the one hand, these guys are treated very, very well. But on the other hand, because of American foreign policy, these guys are so overstretched and they're gone for so long.
Yeah, you keep cutting out there a little bit there, Matt. I don't know if there's anything that's happening at your end or this end, but I can see here that you've got fighter pilots that are getting bonuses of $455,000. I mean, that's $500,000 that they're getting in a bonus. And yet this is what Trump said 5 days ago. At Andrews AFB, he said, for this first time, and I have to say, you know what happened last year, it was a good pay rise, but now you're getting another pay rise, and this will be the largest pay rise in more than 10 years, more than a decade. So if you don't want it, you don't have to take it. So he knows what he's doing here, Matt. He knows that he's paying them a huge amount of money here, doesn't he?
So I mean, what else could this be other than looking for allies? That you have the Pentagon behind him. You know damn well he's not going to demand an audit, auditing the Fed at one point. But there's no audit of the Pentagon, and there's no audit even.
Yeah, you keep cutting out there, Matt. It just keeps cutting in and out there. So I've got the one final quote here, and we'll see if you're still there at the end to make a comment on it. This is from Reuters News Service. The GAO testimony follows a March report by the Office of the Defense Department's Inspector General that concluded that the Pentagon's books were in such disarray that they couldn't be audited. In fact, the Pentagon's books are in such poor shape that the military's money managers last year made almost $7 trillion in adjustments to their financial ledgers in an attempt to make them add up. The Inspector General also concluded the Pentagon could not show receipts for $2.3 trillion of those changes, and $500 billion of the adjustments were corrections of earlier mistakes. So we've gone from billions to trillions there, Matt. Are you still there?
Yeah, you've been cutting out too a little bit, but I think you're getting the gist of it here. And there's no way, I don't know how they can make adjustments if they don't know how much to adjust in the first place. So I think these are just on paper, to be honest with you. So this is, there's simply no way to know where this money is going, and they have no idea how much they're making. And so it doesn't matter how much money they get from the government, there's no way to trace it.
Just a huge waste of money, isn't it? When you think of all the things that money could be going on that Bernie Sanders pointed out. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.